Let's pray. Lord, you are everywhere we go, and yet you make yourself known in various ways and at various times, and we welcome you to be among us in the ways that you want to be and wish to make yourself known. Lord, would you grant us greater awareness of and sensitivity to your presence, your heart, your voice, and your work, that we would be people who are responsive to you and responsible with what you entrust to us. Guide our time, open our ears, transform our hearts, and grant us the loyalty and commitment to you to follow through as you lead us and as you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your final authority, please? We are going, as you know, we have been working our way through 1 Samuel. And so this week we are actually in 1 Samuel 3. And we're going to keep going through the book of Samuel chapter by chapter. But with hitting chapter 3, we thought we would keep our kids here because this has been something that's been really important to us as a congregation and to our kids in the last few years. We're going to be talking about hearing from God this morning. But I remind you that I often call this and will say, will you grab your final authority? Because Scripture is the final authority. And I think I've told you before, I'm receiving mentoring from a group called Church Renewal. They're based out of a large church in Manitoba. That's where it started. And their pastor at one point said to the church, if you're not regularly in the Word, then I don't care what you're hearing from God. And that's a very bold and blunt statement. But this is the final authority. This is the final authority. And you need to be in this so that you can learn to hear God and so that you can learn to interpret what you believe you are hearing from God. So Bible first, but not Bible exclusively. And that is also very important because that is in fact what the Bible teaches. Okay? Therefore, our responsibility as spiritual leaders in whatever position of spiritual leadership you find yourself, whether it's leading kids, whether it's the fact that you are a parent or you're placed in a school, or you are simply someone that you have been following Jesus long enough that you have something that you could share with others who are not as far along in the journey, and you have a form of spiritual leadership there, even if it is informal. Our responsibility as spiritual leaders is to learn to hear the voice of God that we may be led by God and lead others in learning to hear him. With that in mind, would you grab your final authority? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. We're going to read the whole passage. Now, the boy, let's remember that. This is a young boy. I don't know how old he is, if he's 5, if he's 10. This word could be used for someone who is up to almost the age of being married, getting married. But until they are, they're referred to as a boy. But some time has passed anyway. And at whatever age, this is still someone who is in their youth. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Eli is the high priest. He is the top dog in the religious institution of the day there. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Remember that the ark of God was a symbol of, and maybe a little bit more than that, that there's a sense of God's presence on and around the ark. It's a chest. Okay, it's a gold chest, but it was understood to be a place where the presence of the Lord rests. Samuel is resting in the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel's been working in church. Okay, to put it in our terms, Samuel's been working in church 7 days a week for however long and does not know the Lord. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, notice how heavy this message is. This is a young guy who's meeting the Lord in a sense for the first time, and notice the heaviness, the weightiness of this message. Does God trust young people with big things? Big words, even. The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." I picture, like, you know, when you see war movies and a bomb goes off, and then the picture is of the people who have been around and they can't hear anymore. It's like ringing. It's like that kind of, that's what I picture, at least. I'm not saying that that comes right out of this, but this is like a big thing. And it's going to make people's ears hurt, in a sense. "I will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against priest Eli everything that I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." And since this is the word of the Lord, Samuel lay down until morning, probably not sleeping, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "This is a very revealing statement." Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, which is like north and south, from one end of the country to the other, they recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. He'd been confirmed, in a sense. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, which is the place that they were, and he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Well done. Bible first, but not Bible exclusively. Now Samuel knew about the Lord. He'd been serving in the temple, or the tabernacle, day and night for as long as he could remember. He'd been brought there as soon as he was weaned, right? And yet he knows about, but he does not know personally the Lord. He does not know the Lord personally. That's a little bit scary. But let me point this out. Does God speak to people who do not yet know him? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I once heard that as we were teaching kids how to listen in prayer, that some people were concerned that they shouldn't be learning to listen to the Lord because they haven't yet been introduced to Jesus. They don't yet know Jesus. That would contradict the word. Okay? God speaks to a variety of people who do not yet know him. There are other examples in Scripture as well. Pharaoh gets a dream from God. Nebuchadnezzar gets a dream from God. But Samuel here does not yet know the Lord. And yet God will initiate that conversation. And Samuel will learn to listen. We're going to park on verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, the second part. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel had not been trained to hear God. Eli had failed. That's a heavy, heavy thing. Oh man. Samuel makes the mistake when he hears the Lord speaking to him, he thinks it's someone else. Do you see just even in this verse the need that there is for people to learn to hear from the Lord? He hadn't been trained. Let me give you one of the best keys for learning to hear from the Lord. I recognize that God speaks audibly in this passage, right? Samuel mistakes God's voice for Eli's. Many people assume, and I did for the longest time, that when God spoke, it would have to be audible. That it's not God speaking if it is not audible. And I took that from this passage. I took that from when other passages in Scripture where it simply says the Lord spoke to so-and-so. But actually, I have no proof that it was ever audible in any other circumstance. It could have been an impression. And someone said, the Lord spoke to me. It could have been a picture in someone's mind. It does not have to be something visual, as in something that your eyes pick up for it to be a vision. It does not have to be something that you can, that everyone else around could have heard. The Lord usually speaks with still, small voice. The subtle things, the nudge. And it's learning to recognize something smaller that has been a key for more and more people around here to learn to recognize that God is actually speaking. We were just expecting something much bigger. Does this make sense? So learn to look for the small things and to test and to pay attention to the small things. I think it is because Samuel was not trained to hear the voice of the Lord that God had to use the big audible voice. I think there are other reasons for it as well, but I'm not going to go there at the moment. But the more that we learn to recognize. I prayed, and then there was the next thought that came, and it didn't seem to come from me. I prayed, and I remembered that. I prayed and suddenly I had this picture come to mind of a wagon. Or I prayed and then my phone rang. It's the smaller things more often that we need to learn to pay attention to. That's the training that we require. And that's what we've been doing. This is why we are keeping the kids here this morning. I wanted to invite Kristen to come up, and what she is going to do is lead our kids who are with us in what they do on a regular basis within Kids Church, where it starts with the Word. So it's Bible first, but not Bible exclusively. And then she leads the kids through listening prayer for what can we take from this. So Marco's got a mic there for you. We're doing this here, not only because this is coming right out of this passage, but also so that you as parents and as those who pray for the younger people in this church can be praying in the moment, but also so that you can sort of follow an example of, oh, this is how you teach this to those to other people. So Kristen, do you want to come up?
Good morning. Good morning. If you are in kindergarten to grade 6, I'd even take a teenager in grade 7, if you'd like. Would you come and join me for Kids Church right here? And if you happen to bring your Bible with you, would you bring that too? If you didn't bring it, that's okay. Thanks, Silas. Thanks, Jake. Let's do it right here. Awesome. Ruby, I'm glad you're here with all these guys. It's been a while since we've been together, and I know the dudes in our family were excited for Kids Church this morning, so thank you for being flexible to have Kids Church in the big room. Thank you for being flexible to have Kids Church here this morning. I have a question to start us off. When mom or dad have something that they would really like to talk to you about, where do those conversations take place? Rhett? Sometimes in the living room. Kate? Where else? Ellis? Living room? Livy and Nellie, there's a spot here. I'll go grab another chair. Jake, can you slide closer to Ellis? Good work. Ruby, in the car. Okay. Sometimes important conversations happen in the car. Now, when there's a spot here. Where else do big conversations or little conversations happen in your family? Silas, in your bedroom? A bedroom, yeah, absolutely. Joel? The couch? It's Ellis again? The kitchen. Do you know what? As I was thinking about this passage in 1 Samuel, I was thinking about that I've been spending lots of time with my dad, and our conversations have often happened around the kitchen table. And I'm hearing that they happen for you sometimes in the living room or in the car or in a bedroom. That's awesome. We're going to take some time to enter into listening prayer this morning. And as we enter into listening prayer, we're going to ask our dad in heaven, the one who loves you even more than your mom or dad here on earth. And we're going to ask our dad in heaven for a nugget of truth that he wants to tell us today. And then we're going to pause, just like we would around the table, and we're going to wait for Papa God to let us know what he wants to tell us. Okay. Before we begin, though, let's check in. How might our dad in heaven speak to us? Rhett? Pardon? He will sometimes speak calmly, yeah? In what ways would Papa God speak to us? Jake? He might use a picture. Absolutely. How else? Livy, words. Yeah. We might hear words, right? Are you thinking that you might see words too? Yeah, it can happen. Ellis, other people. Yeah. Are those the ways that come to mind? Jake? He might use a dream. He might use a vision. Absolutely. All right. Thanks for checking in with me. So as we listen, we might listen for Papa God to use a picture or a dream, a vision. Maybe he might give a color or a word. Okay? All right. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And we're going to picture our Papa, our Dad in heaven. And today I'd like you to picture your Dad in heaven around your kitchen table. And when you see Papa God at your kitchen table, in a place that's safe and peaceful, would you let me know by putting your thumb up? Thank you. And I'm going to invite you to get a little closer to him. So if you picture Papa God at the other end of the table, maybe you're going to move your chair so you're a little bit closer. Or maybe crawl and sit right on his lap. And as you're getting closer to Papa God, to our Dad in heaven, what does he look like? And you can share with me. What does God in heaven look like? Red. Beautiful. What else do you see? Silas, what do you see? He's really bright today. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Jake, who do you see this morning? Someone who has a good knee for sitting on. Yeah. Okay, you can get a little closer to Papa God. And would you echo this prayer with me? Okay. Let's use these words. Dad in heaven, we're here. We've shown up today. Just like Samuel, we give ourselves from our heads to our toes, our whole selves in worship to you. Now I want you to lean in closer to Papa God and ask him, Papa God, when you look at me, what do you see? You can keep the conversation going with Papa God. It could sound something like this. Dad in heaven, I'm your kid, and I'm listening. What do you want to tell me about who I am? Let's turn back to each other now. You can open your eyes. Silas, would you be okay if we started at your end? Yeah? When you ask Jesus, Papa God, what he wanted to tell you today, what did you hear? He said, I love you. Absolutely. Ellis, what did you hear Papa God say today? So I'm hearing you say that you saw a silver box with blue lining on the inside or the outside? Inside, and there was there's something more, right? A heart. Okay. Were you able to ask Papa God more about that picture? Not yet? Okay. So it sounds like it could be Papa God speaking. So you could maybe when you're having lunch or maybe this afternoon, you could come back to that conversation, right? And say, Papa God, the last time we talked, you gave me this picture of a silver box. What do you want to tell me about that box? Hey. Thanks, Ellis. Jake, what did you hear Papa God say this morning? Tell me again. Oh, so he talked to you about learning lots. When I see you, I see that you're someone who learns lots. He sees your potential, hey? He sees how valuable you are. Thanks, son. Rhett. You're caring. I care about you. Thanks, Rhett. Joel, what did you hear this morning? You're important. Wow, Papa God was speaking to you about how valuable and worthy you are. Thanks, son. Nellie, I love you. Wow. You are loved, Livy. You are unique. Thank you for sharing. Ruby, friend, maybe you could pick that conversation up with Papa God. Hey, absolutely. And you could ask him, Papa God, you see me as a good friend. What more do you want to tell me today? Wow. We asked Papa God to speak, and he did this morning. Let's say thank you, and then we can go back to our spots, okay? Okay. Thanks, God. We asked you to open our hearts and our minds and the ears of our hearts to hear from you this morning, to hear your voice and who you say about us. And you spoke to each one of us. Thank you. You are good. Amen. You can go rejoin your spots.
Well done. Thank you, Kristen. Well done to our kids as well. It's entering into something that involves holding things with open hands. You notice that at least one of the kids had something that it's going to take some more time to process with the Lord. And we regularly have that. Silas and I were doing that this past week where he'd read his Bible, and then we did some prayer, and then we listened. And he had something that neither one of us could make sense of. And we sort of put that on the shelf and leave that for later, come back to it again, trust that the Lord will do more, or you just say, it's okay, we are learning. We're all learning, right? This is about learning, and it's about engaging with someone who loves us and wants to speak to us more and to develop that language together. So now we're going to try this, everyone, both the youth who are with us as well as the adults here. Would you close your eyes, please? And we're just going to take some baby steps. Ask, Lord, would you show me an answer to prayer that I hadn't recognized or acknowledged? Lord, would you show me a time I made you smile? And try this one. Lord, what is something about you that I need to remember? And if you recognized an answer, then the follow-up question might be, Lord, why do I need to remember this about you? Amen. We don't start by asking, Lord, what are the big world events that you want me to prophesy? Right? We start with, what do you think about me? We start with, remind me what I need to be grateful for. We start with, tell me about who you are and how I can see that more in my life and pay attention to who you are. Start with that stuff as you're learning to grow in recognizing God's voice. We're going to take just a couple of minutes to talk about Eli, and then we'll be done. Would you look at the very beginning of this passage? In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And then it talks immediately about Eli's lack of sight. That is not by accident. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions, and Eli was going blind. Do you know how rare it is for the Bible to mention details like that? When the Bible mentions details about a person like that, pay attention to them. They're very important. It's very important that Saul is noted actually twice to be a head taller than everyone else in Israel at the time. And we will talk about why when we get there. It's very important that Ehud was described as being left-handed, and you see that play out in the story. This is another one of those literary devices where the author is saying, there's more going on here. Visions were rare, and Eli's sight was fading. Eli, I would like to suggest to you, is losing his spiritual sensitivity, as we have seen play out in other parts of Eli's story that we have already seen, right? His heart is getting cold. It takes him how long to notice that God was speaking to Samuel? He will not discipline his sons. He honors them above God. He says, when Samuel tells him what the Lord said, he says, let God do what seems good to him. Is that the way you respond about God, who is literally the definition of what is good? No. No, there's something going on with Eli. I would like to suggest to you, he is losing his spiritual sensitivity. And then no wonder that the voice of God is rare in those days, because God's not going to continue to speak to people who are not listening. Right? As I have processed Eli in reading these last couple of chapters over and over again, I have this continual, I cannot become like an Eli. That's my call to us. May we not become like an Eli. Do whatever it takes to grow in sensitivity to the voice, the presence, the work, and the heart of God. Do whatever it takes, because it goes so badly for Eli. That's my ongoing prayer. Lord, make me increasingly sensitive to your voice, your presence, your work, and your heart. That I would be the spiritually sensitive leader in my home, in our church, in our community. I invite you to pray that prayer with me. And if spiritual sensitivity is something that you have noticed that you have been more and more lacking in, get help. Please get help. Do whatever it takes, because it does not go well for Eli, right? And this is one of those warnings. Get help. It might mean starting to change your own practices. I trust that you regularly read the Bible. Do you listen as part of that? Do you let God draw out words? Do you let him draw you to passages? Do you engage with him back and forth in conversation about what is this saying and what are you highlighting to me? Because if you want to grow in hearing God, you'd better start with the Bible. Ask him, why does this stick out? Write it down, pray about it, talk to others about it, about what you think you might be hearing. You have to do this in community. If spiritual sensitivity is something that is a real concern for you, go for inner healing. I have a number of different resources I could help you with in sort of training you, training us in hearing the voice of the Lord. Please get help. Bible first, but not Bible exclusively. Let me just close with a reminder. This is our inheritance. This is our inheritance. Every single person. This is what the Bible teaches. See, Jesus died. What happened in the temple when Jesus died? The veil was torn. What did that separate? It separated God's presence from God's people. Right? It was torn. A few days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out on God's people. And from then on, the inheritance for God's people is that everyone gets to hear God. Here's what it says. This was spoken, this is at Pentecost. This was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's currently happening, Peter says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will hear God. That's what prophecy is. Your sons and daughters will hear God, young and old, rich and poor. On old men, young men, servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will hear God. And then they will speak it out. This is your inheritance and mine. Your inheritance. So let's close with one last thing. Would you close your eyes, please? Lord, what is my next step with this? Ask him, Lord, what is my next step with what we have talked about this morning? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your voice. I thank you for your ongoing work among us. I thank you for the gift that we have in the Holy Spirit, that you give yourself. I thank you for the work of the cross that removed the barrier and tore the veil so that you would come and be in and among your people. Lord, would you grow us in sensitivity to your voice, your presence, your work, and your heart, that we might become the people that you have invited us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you see each person here as worthy of your attention, as worthy of engaging in conversation, as worthy of your work and your affection and your invitation to more. Guide each one of us in our next steps and make us faithful with what you have entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll invite the band back up and we'll continue to worship. If any of you would like to talk further, whether it's processing what we talked about this morning or maybe what you heard or maybe what you didn't hear, always happy to pray and engage with people. If you'd like prayer for something else, of course, come on up. Be happy to pray as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, friends. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.